नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवय भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्द गोपा कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 41, text number 14. Avanijyangri yugalam asit shlokya balir mahan Aishvayam atulam lebhe gatim chaikantinam tuya avani jangri yugalam asit shlokya bhalir mahan Aishvayam atulam lebe gatim chaikantinam tuya. Bathing angri yugalam, the 2 feet asit became shlokya, glorious Bali, King Bali, Mahan, the great, Aishvaryam, power, Atulam, unequaled, Lebhe, he achieved, Gatim, the destination, Cha, and Ekantinam, of the unalloyed devotees of the Lord. To indeed, ya, which. I'll read the previous translation because, as I said earlier on, the subject matter of this class will be the lotus feet of the Lord. So, this previous verse and then today's verse and then the next verse is all describing the glories of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So I'll read the previous verse, which was done yesterday. I'm simply an ordinary household attached to ritual sacrifices. So please purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. By that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires and the demigods will all become satisfied. Today's translation. Bye. The disciples of Srila Prabhupada. By bathing your feet, the exalted Bali Maharaj attained not only glorious fame and unequal power, but also the final destination of pure devotees. Please can you repeat after me? By bathing your feet, the exalted Bali Maharaj attained not only glorious fame, and unequaled power, but also the final destination of pure devotees. Next verse. There's no purport here. Apastengriyavanejanyas trilokan suchayo punan sirasadhataya sarva Svaryata Sagaratmajaha. Translation. The water of the river Ganges has purified the 3 worlds, having become transcendental by bathing your feet. Lord Shiva accepted that water on his head, and by that water's grace, the sons of King Sagara attained to heaven. Beautiful. I'd like to read a very famous verse, because none of these verses have purport. It's generally an etiquette that the speaker should not comment his own whims, rather through the commentary given by other great personalities, the acharyas. So this verse is a very sweet verse, which is actually is offered by Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter, text number 58. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a cat's hoof print. Their goal is Param Padam, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, nor the place where there is danger at every step. Purport. This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 51. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, this verse summarizes the knowledge presented in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are described as pallava, flower buds, because they are most tender and of a pinkish hue. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the word pallava also indicates that Lord Krishna's lotus feet are just like desire trees, which can fulfill all the desires of the Lord's pure devotees, even exalted devotees like Sri Narada, who are themselves the great shelter for the conditioned souls in this universe, personally take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Thus, it is natural that when Lord Krishna manifested himself as all the young boys and calves of Vrindavan, their parents were more attracted to them than previously. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and being all attractive, the ultimate object of everyone's love. This is a famous verse mentioned by the engineer of this entire universe. He has come to this conclusion, which is a very beautiful verse mentioned in text 58 of chapter 14, canto 10. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishnan Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakarnitam Sha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deven Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pasyacha Deshatarine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. The subject matter about Lord Krishna's lotus feet is a very, very high subject matter. Therefore, I beg and request all the Vaishnavas present here to shower your mercy so that I can talk about Krishna's lotus feet by your grace. This subject matter of Krishna's lotus feet indeed is a very highly elevated subject matter. Not many, many persons can understand the greatness of Krishna's lotus feet. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that out of thousands of people, one may try to look for enlightenment, and those who have actually enlightened themselves in the knowledge of Krishna and His form are very, very few. We understand, not many people come and try to take shelter of the Vedas. Not many people try to take shelter in understanding the Vedic scriptures. Even though they may take shelter in understanding Vedic scriptures, they conclude, their conclusion is not correct at all. The conclusion is, they say that the absolute truth, he has no legs. They said the absolute truth has no eyes. They said that the absolute truth has no ears. But they forget to read the other half portion which is mentioned in the Vedic scripture. It's like the chicken analogy. You know the chicken analogy? The chicken analogy is you don't want to feed the hen, but you want the eggs. So what do? You cut off the head, thinking that you'll get the eggs. But actually, those people who misinterpret the Vedic scripture get no result. Their conclusion is wrong. They accept the half portion of the Vedas, but neglect the other half portion. Yes, it's true that the Vedas say that Krishna has no eyes, but the Vedas also say that Krishna can see. It's mentioned that the Vedic scripture also mentions that Krishna has no ears, but still Krishna can hear. Similarly, Krishna has no legs, but he can walk. How does it make sense? We should try to understand that we are an image of God. Whatever we have in our body is created from the image of God. That's mentioned in Christianity itself. That we have hands, surely Krishna has hands. We have legs, surely does Krishna have legs. We have eyes, surely does Krishna have eyes. But we should understand the difference. The difference is that we have materialized and Krishna has spiritualized. And that we have material ears, Krishna has spiritual ears. We have material legs, Krishna has spiritual legs. This is the beauty of Krishna. Krishna's existence is fully spiritual. But our existence may be material because we have embraced the temporary, which is called the body. And the temporary body which we have has a beginning and an end. Whereas Krishna's body, it has no beginning and has no end. It is eternal. So that's why any glorious activities which is manifested from Krishna and His form is all glorious. As I've mentioned, not many people who have taken shelter of the Vedic knowledge have come to that conclusion that Krishna, He is the absolute truth who is a person, who is the source of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Any impersonal effulgence has to come from the personal aspect that is Krishna. See, the conclusion, the greatest theistic understanding of God is that Krishna, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all His activities, all His on his form, deformed, his body, his legs and his foot, his eyes are all spiritual and transcendental. Ordinarily, we understand in Vedic culture, is that a person who is a junior gives all respect to a junior, senior. Like, for example, there's etiquette in Vedic society which one should imbibe in one's consciousness. Like, for example, if we see a very senior devotee, the standard of etiquette is that we call him Prabhuji. We don't call him by a nickname. We call him, like for example, Sudama Prabhu, or we call Triyuga Prabhu, or we see a Mataji, we call them by their last name by Mataji. So that is all, and there's the standard etiquette in Vedic society. And we give, in Vedic society, we give all respect to the cows, brahmanas, to women, and to the matijis, and to the children. We should give all protection and respect to them as such. So the Vedic society is constructed in such a way we can actually purify our consciousness. The consciousness, purpose of purifying our consciousness is so that we can appreciate who Krishna is. We can understand Krishna and his personality. And surely, Akrura, here, he is the uncle of Lord Krishna. He's an exalted personality. He is seen in mundane vision. We can see that Krishna, he is considered junior to Akrura. And Akrura should be seen as senior. The etiquette of a family member is we show respect to father, we show respect to mother, we should show respect to our uncles who are our seniors. That is the, and we should show friendship to our brothers and who are of the same age, generally speaking. But here we see that Akrura, who is a senior member of the family, he is offering all respects to Krishna. We should understand that the purpose of all Vedic understanding is that the Vedas glorify that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person who teaches that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead should also set an example to others. We know the famous pastime of Romaharshana Sutta. Romaharshana Sutta, he was a very scholarly brahmana. He spoke Srimad Bhagavatam very, very in an excellent poetic way. So many people came to get enlivened from him. He was teaching that Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should offer all respects to him. But when Balaram came in the arena of the, when he came to the Namisharanya forest, all the sages who heard Romaharshana Sutta actually followed his instruction. They went and they stood up and offered all respects to Lord Balaram. But Romaharshana Sutta, he set himself on the Vyasasan, did not offer his respect. Because of this pride, Balaram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain the religious principles which are mentioned in the Vedic scripture, took a blade of kusha grass and killed him like that. So, but Akrura, his consciousness is different that of Romaharshana Sutta. Although he's an elderly person, but he knew that all respect should be offered to Krishna. This is the consciousness of Akrura. Although he sees himself as an uncle of Krishna, he sees himself as a senior Yadu member of Krishna, but still he offers the greatest respect to Krishna. He offers the greatest respect to Krishna in the most humble manner. This is the nature of a devotee. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasaishna. That a devotee should actually imbibe a special quality that is called humility. This quality of humility is demonstrated by himself, Akrura. And Akrura demonstrates it. He starts off with Krishna's lotus feet. And he meditates and he focuses on Krishna's lotus feet. He says, O Krishna, please come to my residence and purify my residence with your lotus feet. And he cites wonderful examples, as mentioned here. By bathing your feet, the exalted Bali Maharaj attained not only glorious fame and unequaled power, but also the final destination of pure devotees. This is the power of Krishna's lotus feet. We should actually not take granted for seeing Krishna's lotus feet. We should not think that it's just an ordinary lotus feet that are seen in mundane world. The lotus feet of Krishna are actually most spiritual, most transcendental. We know from the pastime, actually the lotus feet is so powerful, even a demon who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet can transform his consciousness. This is the power of Krishna's lotus feet. We know we heard the beautiful pastime of how Krishna, he subdued the ferocious serpent Kaliya. Kaliya was so ferocious. Whatever was coming out of his mouth was actually poisonous fire. So ferocious, so much enmity towards Krishna. And Krishna, by his wonderful skills, he was able to subdue the thousand-hooded Kaliya, and he was able to jump on the hood of Kaliya. And when he jumped on the hood of Kaliya, he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya so wonderfully, so dramatically, that the Gandharvas and the heavenly residents, they tried to play the instrument which was matching to Krishna's lotus feet. Even to the extent Lord Shiva tried to perform his Tandava Natra dance. He was performing his wonderful dance. But while he was performing his wonderful dance, he could not keep up the pace which Krishna had while he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. That's why he is known as Nataraj, or the best of all dancers. Even better dancer than Lord Shiva. This is the exaltedness of Krishna. And while he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna smeared all over the head of Kaliya, and Kaliya's consciousness transformed him. He said, oh, what am I trying to do? What a fool am I? I'm trying to fight with Krishna, who is 1,000 times stronger than Garuda, who is the carrier of Krishna, who is his enemy. Garuda is his enemy. Kaliya was thinking, what a fool am I, trying to compete with Krishna, who is 1,000 times stronger than 1,000 times stronger than Garuda. And Kaliya's serpents, by nature, they were devotees. They were thinking, oh, this Kaliya, earlier on they were thinking, yes, this Kaliya should be punished, should be chastised, should be killed for his impudence, for his envy. Envious nature towards Krishna and his devotees. But when Kaliya's serpents, they saw the transformation of the consciousness of Kaliya, they went and appealed to Krishna. They offered such excellent prayers to Krishna. And one of the prayers, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, said, was, O Krishna, how fortunate is this Kaliya? It is understood that Goddess of Fortune had to meditate for thousands and thousands of years just to get the shelter of your lotus feet. Now I see here Kaliya, what pious activity he had to do to get such an achievement that of you dancing on his hoods. By nature, the serpents are always envious. To get the body of a serpent, one must be very impious. But this Kaliya is so fortunate, which Goddess of Fortune has to obtain after thousands of years. So we can see that Nagapatnis appealed to Krishna and tried to save their husband, because their husband became a wonderful devotee by the dust which was from Krishna's lotus feet. And similarly, we see here that Maharaj Bali, he was such a powerful king. He actually, by the blessings of Bhrigu, the dynasties of Bhrigu, headed by Shukracharya, he was able to conquer the heavenly planets. And upon conquering the heavenly planets, he had all the enjoyment any person would admire to achieve in heavenly planets. Or even in this world, any desires we try to desire within this world, that is already there in the heavenly planet. That was the opulence Bali Maharaj had. He sat on the throne of King Indra, and he actually had whole heavenly planet under his control. Later on, we know how Vamanadev, he appeared in this scene of the sacrificial yajna which was organized by Bali Maharaj and Shukracharya. When Vamanadev appeared in this scene, Bali Maharaj, by his nature, one special good quality, that of giving charity, because that is the nature of us, Grihastha. Grihastha is one who gives charity. If a Brahmana comes, if a sadhus come and ask for alms, the Grihastha should give charity, whatever extent he can, you know, whatever level of income he has, he can offer the charity. So Bali Maharaj, he said, "O Brahmana, you come at the right time. Please ask for any benediction, any boon, any charity I can give you. Please ask, I will give it to you." And Vamanadev was a very small boy. He was at the age of 5. He was a dwarf. He was a brahmachari. Vamanadev said, "Oh, I just require 3 steps of land." Bali Maharaj said, "What kind of benediction is this? You're a child." Bali Maharaj said, "You're a child. You don't know what you're talking. Don't you know I'm the king of heavenly planet? You want a beautiful princess? I can give it to you. You want wealth? I can give it to you. You want the kingdom? I can give it to you. You want a country? I can give it to you. Why do you ask 3 paces of land? You're just a child. Please ask something more substantial." But Vamanadeva said, no. I just asked for 3 paces of land." He said, "If I am not satisfied with what I've asked, then do you think upon achieving the whole kingdom, the princes, I will be happy? No, I will not be happy. So please give me just the 3 paces of land." And Bali Maharaj said, "Okay, I will give you as you desire." But Shukracharya intervened. Shukracharya was the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj. He intervened. He said, "No, you should understand, this boy, he's disguised himself. He is not other than Lord Vishnu. He's come to take up, usurp your whole entire heavenly region and your entire wealth. You should not do. You should follow my instruction." And he used tricky words in order to justify the situation which Bali Maharaj had promised. But nevertheless, Bali Maharaj said, "No, even if he's Lord Vishnu, I should still give him. And even though he's my enemy, still I should give him what he wants." In this regard, we understand that Bali Maharaj actually rejected the advice given by his spiritual master. Because the spiritual master he had was teaching him how to deviate from Krishna consciousness. The purpose of a bona fide spiritual master is one who teaches one how to fix oneself in Krishna consciousness. But here we see Shukracharya, he tried to deviate his disciple from actually pleasing Lord Krishna. So that is why Bali Maharaj had the valid reason for rejecting his spiritual master's advice. Because his spiritual master was advising him not to progress himself in Krishna consciousness. And Bali Maharaj, with great determination, he wanted to fulfill the promise he had given to the small boy Brahmana, dwarf boy Vamanadev. He's very chaste and an exemplary wife, Vindalaya, Bali Maharaj's wife, came forward giving full support to Bali Maharaj in his mission of fulfilling the promise he has given to Vamanadev. Actually, even before, Bali Maharaj actually explained to Shukracharya, even if Vamanadev has taken the whole universe, which you have said, nevertheless, and even if he's killed me, nevertheless, you should understand that reputation will stay on. That fame, what I have done, will stay after I die. And he quoted the example of his father, Virochana, because Virochana also was in that similar situation where the demigods disguised themselves and asked for alms and cheated Virochana and killed Virochana. So he was saying, my father Virochana, he actually attained fame because of the great deed he has done of offering charity to the demigods. Similarly, if Vamanadev kills me, no problem. At least I will get that fame, I'll get that reputation for what I have done. Anyway, we know how Vamanadev, he poured the water on Vamanadev's hand and washed the lotus feet of Vamanadev with great devotion. And with that water, he sprinkled on his head. And that actually transformed himself into an exalted devotee for what he's done. Later on, Vamanadev actually exposed his real... He manifested himself as Virat Rup, where he extended his legs so big, he extended his form so big, that with two steps, he was able to take everything from the lowest region of hellish planets to the highest region of heavenly planet Brahmaloka. And with the second leg, he actually pierced Brahmaloka, even the outer space where the celestial river known as Ganga has come about. That's where Ganges originated and came into this universe. Later on, Vamanadev, and then later on, the demons were all upset for what Vamanadev did. The demons thought, how dare they cheat our master, Bali Maharaj? Demons took all the weapons to attack Vamanadev. But Bali Maharaj, he said, you should not do this. This is foolish for what you've done. This shows his exalted devotedness. And obviously, they didn't listen. They attacked Vamanadev, but the personal attendants of Lord Vamanadev, the Vishnu dutas or the messengers of Lord Vishnu, checked them and killed them off. And later on, under the instruction given by Vishnu dutas and Bali Maharaj, they went to the lower region. We can see, even when Bali Maharaj lost his wealth, still he was fixed in his determination in Krishna consciousness. And later on, even when Vamanadev saw that Bali Maharaj fully supported him, still Garuda, understanding the intention of Vamanadev, came with a Varuna rope and tied Bali Maharaj just as an animal is tied. And that is the worst thing a king or a kshatriya can ever experience. As is explained in Bhagavad Gita, infamy or being defamed is worse than being killed. And that was the situation Bali Maharaj. The reason Vamanadev did this is to show even Bali Maharaj's reputation or being famous. He was thinking to be famous, to have the reputation for what he's done after he dies or after he's been defeated, that was also taken away. Vamanadeva said, you promised that you give me 3 steps of land, but you have only given me 2 steps. What kind of promise have you done? And obviously Bali Maharaj felt very ashamed for what he has done. He felt very ashamed. And then Bali Maharaj started contemplating. He was thinking. Because his real spiritual master was his grandfather, who is none other than exalted Prahlad Maharaj. That's why he had such devotional consciousness. He was contemplating. He was thinking, oh, the sadhus, the saintly persons, they have no wealth, they have no home, they may not even have family. But what do they do to actually surrender themselves? They actually surrender their very life, they surrender their family, they surrender everything to the service of the Lord. So that's why I should actually do what the sadhus, the saintly persons has done. And I should keep the determination that of my great grandfather, Sri Prahlad Maharaj. That determination of fixed devotional service. That was the consciousness of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj said, oh Lord, please, in order to fulfill the third promise, the third taste of land you want, you please place that beautiful lotus feet of yours on my head. That is what. And Vamanadeva was so pleased with Bali Maharaj, and that's what he did. He gave him, he placed that beautiful lotus feet on Bali Maharaj's head. And although he sent him to the lower region, Sutala planet, this Sutala Loka, nevertheless, Vamanadeva said, this Sutala Loka where you're residing is more opulent than the heavenly planets. And on top of that, he said that, I will personally give full protection to you. He said, this Sudarshan Chakra will always give full protection to you. This is just by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Similarly, later on, we know that this is how Bali Maharaj became a great Mahajan for what he's done. And then later on, we know in the descendants of Sagara Maharaj, he wanted to perform his Ashwamedha Yajna, but his horse got stolen. His horse got stolen, and he sent his children to look for the horse. And the children saw the horse in the hermitage of Kapila Muni, Kapila Rishi. And they accused Kapila Muni for stealing the horse, and they tried to attack Kapila Muni with their weapons. But obviously, because Kapila Muni, he was very peaceful, he was very sober, but the act they have done was so injustice that they burnt themselves into fire. Without even, Kapila Muni didn't get angry because he's a saintly person, he's the Supreme Lord, he was peaceful, but they burnt themselves with fire. And later on, there was the King Sagara had another wife, and that wife had one child. That child was not considered very intelligent as such. He was deformed in some ways, but he was very intelligent. But he had some problems with himself. Anyway, this personality, Amshuman, he went and later he saw Kapila Muni and with the horse, and he saw his brothers all burnt into fire, and he went and approached Kapila Muni and asked for the horse and also relieved his family members. Kapila Muni said, you can have the horse. And he said, Kapila Muni was satisfied with him. And Kapila Muni said, if you want to bring them back to life, you must bring Mother Ganges down. And then later on we know how he tried to do meditation in order to bring Ganga. Ganga didn't come. And he, same with his family ancestors, they all failed. Later on, it was Bhagiratha who later on did a severe meditation that Ganga was very pleased with him. And Ganga personally came and asked, please ask for any benediction you want. And Bhagiratha said, you please come to this earthly planet and deliver my great ancestors who are burnt into fire. Ganga said, okay, There's two things. He said, Mother Ganga said, firstly, that when I descend to this world, I need a male who can actually balance me, who can actually catch me. Because if I come to the earth will not be able to sustain my force. And he said that many impious living entities will take bath in my river, and I will accumulate all sinful reactions. Please also find a solution for this. Bhagirata said, any saintly person taking bath in your river will actually eradicate the sinful reaction which is dumped by the sinful people. And secondly, he said that I will do meditation to Lord Shiva, where Lord Shiva can actually control the pace of your water. And later on, Bhagirata did the did a meditation where he easily pleased Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, one who is easily pleased. Lord Shiva agreed with the proposal of Bhagirata, and Bhagirata and Ganga made his entrance into the earthly planet under the supervision of Bhagirata, and Mother Ganga actually came on the Lord Shiva's head. It is explained that Lord Shiva, he is Mahajan. Lord Shiva, he is such a great devotee, he took the greatest opportunity of having Mother Ganga on his head, because he knows that Mother Ganga has touched the toenails, the lotus feet of Vamanadev, Lord Vishnu. And that's why he's also understood Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, the greatest of all Vaishnava. Because he has the water which has actually washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And then later on, we know how Mother Ganga has actually elevated all the descendants of Bhagirata into heavenly region. This is the power of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, that it gives us the greatest wealth. I would actually like to mention a beautiful pastime. This pastime actually shows how Krishna, he himself is also attracted by his lotus feet. We know how Markandeya Rishi, he was such a great devotee of Naranarayan Rishi. He pleased Naranarayan Rishi so much that Naranarayan Rishi asked him for any benediction he wanted. And then obviously Markandeya Rishi said, please, he was such a great devotee. He said, I want to see your illusory energy of yours. He was such a pure devotee that he didn't see the illusory energy of his. Naranarayan Rishi said, okay, no problem, I will show you my illusory energy. One day, while he was doing his worship, then all of a sudden a great storm came in. And that storm was so severe that the oceans flooded the whole region. The rain started coming severely, flooding the whole region. And he saw himself in that vast ocean. Not only he saw himself in the vast ocean, he saw so many other living entities in the vast ocean. They were all getting drowned. And in that devastated condition, he saw big, big timingala fishes, whales, monstrous creature in the water. And he was so afraid. Because you should understand, although he was a pure devotee, he was an exalted devotee, he wanted to see Krishna's illusory energy. So Krishna put him in such a situation where he saw the illusory energy. So he couldn't remember Krishna. But when he saw the timingala fish, he got all afraid. He was very fearful. And he was in that ocean for thousands and thousands of years. He was swimming in that ocean for thousands and thousands of years. And one day, from a distance, Markandeya Rishi saw an island. In that island, he got up on that island, he saw a banyan tree. On the northern eastern direction of the banyan tree, he saw a little child. The little child was lying on that banyan tree. And what was that little child doing? He was sucking the toenails of his lotus. He was sucking the toe of his own lotus feet. as mentioned here, the description of that infant is explained here. The infant's dark blue complexion was the color of a flawless emerald. His lotus face shone with a wealth of beauty, and his throat bore marks like the lines on a conch shell. He had a broad chest, a finely shaped nose, beautiful eyebrows, and lovely ears that resembled pomegranate flower and that had inner folds like a conch shell spirals. The corners of his eyes were reddish like the whorl of a lotus, and the effulgence of his coral-like lips slightly reddened the nectarian enchanting smile on his face. As he breathed, his splendor hair trembled and his deep navel became distorted by the moving folds of skin on his abdomen, which resembled a banyan leaf. The exalted Brahmana Markandeya Rishi watched with amazement as the infant took hold of one of his lotus feet with his graceful fingers, placed a toe within his mouth, and began to suck. You know the reason for it? It's explained by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Small purpose. The young child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna wondered, so many devotees are hankering for the nectar of my lotus feet. Therefore, let me personally experience that nectar. Thus the Lord, playing like an ordinary baby, began to suck on his toes. This is the beauty of Krishna's lotus feet. We know, we chant every day the famous prayer, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimade Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Niti Namine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Prabhupada, who is very dear to Krishna. Why is he very dear to Krishna? Because he has taken shelter at his lotus feet. Therefore, every aspiring devotee, we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful, unalloyed, selfless servants. Then we can actually find the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet and actually cross over the ocean of material existence and be situated in Krishna's lotus and Krishna's service. Thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions, Prabhuji?